Unfortunately, cases of sexual exploitation and abuse are still happening, and South Sudan is not an exception. While talking about the humanitarian partners, United Nations have a zero tolerance policy for sexual exploitation and abuse by its staff, members and all personnel associated with the organization. Well, earlier this year, IOM, International Organization for Migration, partnered with the World Food Programme and Translators Without Borders, launched a campaign to share knowledge on the protection from sexual exploitation and abuse with frontline workers. And in following minutes, right now, we'll be speaking to, talking about this topic by Mariam Musa, who joins me in the studio. She's the National Protection Officer Against Sexual Exploitation and Abuse with IOM. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Morning to you, and thanks for hosting me.
Right. Firstly, let's start by being on the same level when we talk about sexual exploitation and abuse. When we speak about these things, what do we talk about, or what do we mean?
From the layman's language, when we talk about sexual exploitation and abuse, what we basically mean is when we look at sexual exploitation, this is the abuse of vulnerability or the differential power or trust that we are holding for the people that we're serving. And when we talk of sexual abuse, it means the physical intrusion of a sexual nature or use of force or coercion.
Hmm. Yes. So how widespread is this challenge across the country?
Looking at our context of South Sudan, the issue is spread all over the country because we have different drivers that call for humanitarian assistance. We have instances of conflict, intercommunal violence. We have cases of IDPs. We have flooding. We also have, currently, we also have the Sudan crisis, and all these situations call for humanitarians to come in and support the people.
Mm. Well, speaking about conditions of refugees, tell us about the conditions with regards to sexual violence. Have they been experiencing, have they been subjected to sexual violence?
Speaking from that aspect or that angle, of course, we do understand that most people are vulnerable. This includes the IDPs and the refugees. And in certain circumstances, they are forced to go through this sexual exploitation because they think that is what they need to get to their right.
Mm.
And in other words, that is not the truth, because humanitarians, we are here to support them. And if a beneficiary or the IDPs or the persons we are supporting qualifies or falls within the criteria that we are looking for, then that person is entitled to get the assistance without exchange of anything in return.
Right. Well, let's talk about Together We Say No, the campaign that you're currently running. Describe it. I mean, tell us more about it.
The Together We Say No campaign has been launched in different globally, including South Sudan. And early this year in March, IOM, together with WFP and Translators Without Borders, launched this campaign in Juba and in Malakal. The campaign basically has a communication package for frontline workers. You find that in the humanitarian world, we have drivers, we have security guards, we have all these people that we are working together with. So this campaign is aimed at improving frontline workers' critical knowledge on protection from sexual exploitation and abuse. And this will also enable them to be in a position to report cases of sexual exploitation and abuse, and thus making them allies in the prevention of sexual exploitation and abuse.
Right. And what would be the success of this campaign? How would the outcome look like?
The success of this campaign would be if we get more cases reported on sexual exploitation, then that will mean that we're not saying we want to see sexual exploitation continuing in the country, but if we have an instance whereby people are able to report these cases, then this means that the messages that we have given outside there have reached to the people and they know how to get their rights.
Well, is there any special protection of children because they are the most vulnerable in our society?
Yes, when it comes to sexual exploitation and abuse in regard to children, we also work together with child protection actors. In the fight for this sexual exploitation and abuse, we don't work alone. Of course, we work with other clusters, that is the GBV and child protection. So where it involves children, we also bring in the speciality of the child protection actors.
Right. Now, speaking about vulnerability, and so how can people, ordinary citizens, how can they report cases of exploitation and abuse if it happens?
This is a very good question, and that is why we are here today, because we want the people to know exactly how to report. They don't have to look for Mariam, where if they don't find Mariam, then that means they cannot report the cases. So we have a system-wide channel of reporting whereby there's a joint hotline number being used by all the UN agencies, UN partners and all the national NGOs. They can use those hotline numbers, and we also have an email address which they can also report. If they have access to the internet, they can also report using those channels.
So what are the hotline numbers?
The hotline numbers, we have three numbers. One is a Zain number. It's a 0912-100012. This number, if you're using a Zain line, you can call it even if you don't have airtime in it.
Okay, so it's a toll-free line.
It's a toll-free line. Then we also have an MTN number, which is 0920-111-888. That number, when you call, the operator can be able to respond to you in Arabic. If you are not well conversant with Arabic or you don't want to speak Arabic, then there's another MTN number, 0920-111-333. This, the operator responds to you in English.
Okay. All right. And anything else just before you sign out?
Before I sign out, I would encourage everyone to report. And especially for us, the humanitarian workers, of course, when you look at the principles, we know that it's one of our obligations is to report cases of SEA. And just to make it clear, we are not investigators, so we don't have to go deep down and investigate whether our colleagues are actually committing it or not. But the mere fact that there is suspicion of it, then it is a must that we report such cases.
Right. Mariam Musa, thank you so much for your time.